Is that better, Jerry? All right. My verse this morning is Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Verse 8. 64:8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are all are the work of thy hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time we can have together, and I just pray that you help us to understand this a little bit better, Lord, and I truly appreciate your word, and I just, Lord, it's just wonderful and just so helpful to us, and I just pray that you open our eyes again to it today and just be with us and bless us for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today I'd like to explain to you the similarities of pottery making and life, okay? I'd like to explain to you all the similarities of pottery making. There's all kinds of them. You know, when you've learned a little bit about pottery making and you've lived your life, you can see these similarities between the raw stage and the green stage and the firing stage of pottery and of life. People are like clay. Our bodies consist of molecules of dirt. So I hope you don't just sit there like a lump of clay listening to this, all right? I have a lump of clay here to show you. But I want you to understand, and I want you to appreciate this wonderful knowledge that the Bible gives us, and I want to, you know, just help you to understand it better. The Bible says that God made us out of the dirt of the ground. In Genesis 3:19, "For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Job 33:6 says, "Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay." So science, of course, has also now confirmed this. You know, I mean, you know, now they can take a particle of a body and determine what's all in it. And I think I've done that in another previous sermon. There's a whole list of about 30 different things. And what is that? That's of the body. And what is it? It's dirt. The body consists of dirt. And, you know, if you've ever seen a carcass, you know, decaying away, what does it become? It just, you know, all of a sudden it's just gone. It's become dirt. So if you've experienced that, which we've experienced that a lot, dead carcasses and whatnot, but it becomes dirt. So after studying the Bible and looking up all the references about clay and potters and pottery and all that, and learning how to make pottery under the direction of a good friend of mine, which most of you have probably met already, David Ingeseth. My sermon's a little bit different than his, just because I'm not up here making it, but it's a similar thing. But David Ingeseth taught me how to make that pottery. But I was able to examine those similarities by looking at the raw stage, then the green stage, and then the firing stage of pottery and of life. So the first part is pottery and people in the raw, formidable stage. Okay? So let's take a look at what these similarities are. Now you take this wet clay, all right? This is wet clay, all right? I put it in the bag just because I don't want to get real dirty today. I might get, oh, bummer, Donna's here. I might get a little bit of dirt on the carpet, but I'll be real careful. But this is the raw pottery. I can squish it and form it and make it into, you know, literally hundreds or thousands of different things. So, you know, when you come into this world, you are in the raw too, okay? And just like this clay can be formed into a million different things. I mean, and literally a million different things. This clay right here. And Mrs. Hoffman, don't worry. It is a recycled bag. And I will recycle it again, I'm sure. I'm sure I'll still wash it out. But this clay, I can squish it. I can make it. But when you're starting it out, it's raw, formidable. You can form it into whatever. And so it is in our life. In our life, God shapes us and forms us just like he wants. The Bible states in Isaiah 64:8, like we read, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art a potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." So this raw stage of pottery is like people at birth and in the growing up years. So if I can take this lump and form it into millions of different things, God can take us as clay and form us into a million different things, which he did. Each and everybody in here looks a little different. We all have our own looks, okay? So this raw stage of pottery is kind of like the people at birth. Our life is like that, and God subjects us to a number of variables, okay? And probably the biggest one, who our parents are, maybe the biggest thing. But as we learned in the Bible study Thursday, as Dave was talking about Eli and his sons and Samuel growing up in a, you know, perverted family, but Samuel grew up and he turned out virtuous, even though he grew up in that family. He didn't turn out perverted. And that was due to God and other factors that were in the mix, okay? So the point is here, you should never take bad things that happen in your youth and use that as a reason or an excuse to be bad or to not correct or remake your life, okay? God is the potter. It doesn't say we're the potter, okay? The potter, small p, has power over the clay, just as the potter, capital P, has power over our life, okay? So I can take this lump of clay and make it into a beautiful vessel. And the wonderful part about that, too, is that if while I'm making the vessel or whatever it is I'm making, it can get a bump or a blemish, all right? And I probably have one here that's got more than a bump or a blemish now that I carried it in my car, all right? But this, too, oops, there's that mess that I was trying to avoid. This too is raw pottery. This is raw. This is in the raw stage, all right? But it gets a bump. It gets a bruise. It gets messed up. But I can take this pottery, this clay, and I can remake it. I can just take this clay just by itself. You know, it gets all messed up. Oops, squeeze, whatever. And I can take that same clay and put it back on the wheel and still form it. If I dropped it, actually that's kind of funny because it doesn't fall off really, but if I dropped it and I totally messed it up, I could take this same clay without doing anything else to it and I could re-wedge it. You may have to re-wedge it, just kind of squish it back together and put it back into a lump, plop it back on the wheel and remake it right away. I could just do that right off the bat. So this is that pottery in the raw stage. So even though it gets blemishes, it can still be corrected. In Jeremiah 18:4 it says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." So life is so much like this as we're growing up. Just like a kid falling off a swing, okay? A kid's out there swinging on a swing and he falls off. He jumps back up and he's okay, all right? You know, that's like this. It can jump up and be all better. Maybe after a few tears, he's back playing again. And if I was on that same swing and I'm swinging away and I fall off, I'd probably be bruised and hurting for weeks or a month. I mean, it's just different as you get older. So life is very much like this. There's a lot of bad influences that I would rather not introduce if I'm making something on the pottery wheel. And if I let anger influence me, it's going to make a mess out of the clay. God is warning us here in these verses if you keep messing up, if you keep turning your eyes away from him and toward the world, it gets more and more difficult. And he may take you like that clay, and actually you usually slap it down on the wheel. I think you've seen Dave do that. But sometimes God's going to take you, and he's going to take you and just, boop, oh, mm-mm. Takes you and slaps you back down on the wheel, and I'm going to start over. So he may start over with you in your life. And that's not always a pleasant thing, okay? You know, at first I had thought, well, that's not a good thing. But you know, it is still a good thing because it's God doing it. And so, but it's not a pleasant thing. And it might mean that he, God, is going to make you go broke. Maybe something's, you know, whatever, and he's going to make you go broke and have to start all over. He can make you have a car crash and have, so he can start all over with you. He may give you health problems so he can start over with you. Think about this. Think about it. It would be better just to follow the Lord. It would be just better to follow him and not have him having to keep starting all over all the time, okay? So it's better to just to do what the Lord says and follow him. But the point is here, even if you mess up, even if I mess up with the pottery, even if you mess up in your life, God can start over with you. He can start over with that lump of clay that we are. And if it does happen and you do mess up, we don't want to keep trying to mess up just so we can see, well, will God do better the next time? You know, you don't want to keep on having that happen. So too often, I think we're like that lump of clay that says what Isaiah 29:16 is trying to get across. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? So too often, it seems that people say, there is no God. You know, now we probably don't have that much in this congregation, but you know that's out there. People say, you know, there is no God. And that's like saying the same thing that this verse is talking about. Shall the work, that's me. Shall the work, I'm God's work, I'm God's handiwork, okay? Shall the work say of me, he made me not? So I'm just like this piece of pottery to God, and I'm just one of his works. And we all are. Everybody in here is one of God's works. And there are some people out there that say of him, that say of God, he made me not. And that's no different than this piece of pottery, if it had a voice, it would get up there and say, oh, Glenn Peterson didn't make me. You know, no, that wasn't him. You know, it was two molecules, not atoms, because now what have they found? Something smaller than an atom. Oh, no, it was just those two, I don't even know what they call them. You know, those two little things that bump together, and that's made Glenn Peterson. You know, people. You know, so if I could paraphrase this and put it into a language that I think more of us would understand, I think, now this is just an opinion, of course, but I think God is trying to say here, people, don't be so stupid. Don't be so stupid. You know, that's probably all he's trying to say. Okay, so you're this lump of clay, and then you're formed. Now what? Well, I can tell you this, you greenhorn. And that leads us to the next stage of pottery in life, and that's that pottery and people are in the green stage. So what's a greenhorn? Who said that most? Probably like a John Wayne or something. Hey, you greenhorn. All right. But what is it? You know, what's that? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense maybe to us. But a greenhorn is something that is not quite complete yet. All right. Webster's 1828 dictionary has the definition as fresh, flourishing, undecayed, containing its natural juices, not dry, not seasoned, as green wood, green timber, not roasted, and this one I like mostly, half raw, all right? And our next stage here is the same of pottery, and this stage is called the greenware. All right, and greenware is this, okay, and this has been, it's made, it's been a pot just made, and it just sat out. It's air dried. So this is greenware, and it's too a lot like our life. It has been shaped and air dried, and it's pretty hard, but it's also very brittle. All right, it hasn't been through the fire yet. And isn't that just like life? Ooh, I got clay in my mouth. When you're green, people take advantage of you and maybe hurt you and break your heart. But you can be put back together. But just like life, as you get older, like I was talking about on the swing, you know, I'm a little bit older. If I fall off the swing, it's going to hurt. It's going to take me longer. And it's true about this, too. It takes a little bit more to make this back into a pot. And so it's a little more complicated. It takes a little more time. It's time-consuming and a little more work. All right. So when you're young and you mess up, things are easy to get back to normal. Two kids can be fighting, and all of a sudden, oh, next minute later, oh, hey, best buddy, let's go do something. Well, that's true with the pottery and life. But then in this stage of the clay, you can break it down. You could break this. Oops, there, it's broke. Oop, oh, wow, see how brittle that is? That's the greenware. I'm being careful. So this is the greenware, all right? And it was easily broken, very brittle, and yet this can still be used. But it takes, as I said, time, a little more work to make it back into the raw stage. I can't just set this back on the wheel like I could take this and this. I could just set those right back on the wheel and turn them and make them into something, but I can't do that with this. I have to put this into water. I'd probably break it all the way down, break it into little pieces, and I would put this in water, and then it would absorb that water, and it would become just like this other clay again, just by wedging it and making it back into a usable thing. And it's interesting that, you know, you must add a bit of water and wait. And only then can you take it and make it into something once again. This area probably closely relates to the teen years or the young adults. They mess up and they can still do quite a bit of good with their life. They can take the time to reflect on what went wrong and add the Word of God. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All right, that was last week's sermon, but all right. So, but it's true. It's washing of water by the word. I can take water and add it to that clay, and it becomes good and usable again. So to make it usable, you have to have that time, add the word of God, and it would be usable. Which leads me to the last stage of pottery making. And this one is pottery and people through the fired stage. The firing stage. And there's actually two stages of that. One is bisque firing, and then there's a high firing. First, it's a lump of clay, a lump. And then it's this vessel. You make it into a vessel. And then it's the greenware vessel. Then comes the firing. So this first one is the bisque firing, and that's at a lower temperature, all right? You don't heat it up real hot. It's like 900 degrees for a number of hours. And actually, I still haven't gotten my kiln going quite right, but I bisqued this one in the oven for a while. So this one is bisqued, okay? And after that stage, it looks pretty much the same as the other one, but it's drier. More moisture has been taken out of it. And if it breaks, it isn't good for much. A little harder to break, but it breaks. Okay? And now this because it's been fired, it's not good for much. I can't just add water to this and make it good again. All right? It's a little bit older. It's aged. It's, you know, been through the fire. And as it says in Isaiah 45:9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. So this is probably that potsherd that Job maybe used. You know, you remember why Job used it? What did Job use it for? Scrape off the pus. Okay, so, you know, it doesn't have many good uses. Maybe it's good for doing that, but that, you know, it's really not good for much else, all right? That once it has been bissed like that. So Job took that potsherd and scraped himself off and sat down among the ashes, it said. So that wouldn't really be usable again. You cannot throw it again. Life is like that. When you're older and been through a bit of the fire and you mess up, it's harder for the Lord to use you. It's harder for him to do anything with you. But then, after you put the glaze on it and high fire it, and that's a bisque. I have one that I made, but I have a better one. I made this one, but David Ingeseth made this one, and I'm going to use that as my example. But after you put the glaze on it and you high fire it, okay, at 2,200 degrees, the piece can come out looking as beautiful as this, okay? Once again, like life, you can have all kinds of ups and downs. You can have all kinds of them. But after you've been burned a few times or through the fire several times, you may think, well, there's just no use for my life. All right? But remember, the Bible says in Romans 9:21, hath not the potter power over the clay? The same lump, it could be this, the potter has power over the clay, this lump, could become any one of us in here. I'm back to paraphrasing there. Let's read the verse again. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? God has that power to make us unto honor or unto dishonor. How are you going to spend the rest of your life? Unto honor or unto dishonor? Will you be like Job in Job 10:9? It says, when he says, remember, I beseech thee that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? He's saying, will you bring me down to this nothing again, to nothing, to dust again? Or will you be like the psalmist that said in Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And a great example of clay being used unto honor is in John 9:6, and a few verses after that. It's great. I mean, actually, it's kind of humorous. But the few verses about the clay is John 9:6 is, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay out of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. John 9:11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. 9:14, it says, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And 9:15 says, then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. That's an example of God using clay for honor, okay? The glaze that you see here, and how pretty it is, and just what it can change, how it can change a vessel, how it can change this. It could go from this lump of clay to this. It's surely a great picture of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? This is us and our filthy bodies. It's ugly with sin, okay? But God puts this covering. God puts this glaze and he covers us with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it truly takes on a life of its own. It does. And I especially think of it as this cup, all right? I kept complimenting Dave, oh, that's the prettiest cup I've ever seen. Oh, man, I love that cup. All right, and I wasn't trying to, but he finally gave it to me, all right? But this cup, and like I say, it is like it takes on a life of its own. I look at this cup, and this was just dipped in some glaze and pulled up, maybe dipped twice or three times even. He dips it in different colors of clay. But I look at this, and I see life. I see a whole world in here. And it actually almost looks like the Garden of Eden to me. There's these big trees in the background with some clouds popping through and a little lake there and maybe an animal in there, a bird right there. And this particular one especially, you know, just a little, you know, maybe a whale or something else. This takes on a life of its own. And so does your life when it's covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our filthy sins. Where's the filthy sins? You don't see them. And it's just a great example of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in conclusion, I hope that after seeing that your life has gone through this raw stage, we've all gone through it, and the green stage, and the fired stage, that you can live your life unto honor. The song that we sang, let him have his way with thee. Let him have his way with thee. Let me, what was that, 367? Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. I think that's a fantastic song. Let him have his way with thee. If you try to let the world influence you, if you try to let you want to have the world molding your life, you want to have the world take this lump of clay and do it, you know what? That's where this world is heading. That's where these churches are heading. I noticed that at a wedding I went to yesterday. You know, Baptist wedding. You know, you wouldn't know it though. But my point is, you know, do you want to have the world shaping and forming you? Or do you want to let Jesus have his way with thee? And the other one was, have thine own way, Lord. You know, Lord, have your way, not mine. I don't want to, don't let me decide what I want to be because I don't know what I want to be. So let the Lord have his way with thee. So remember, as my good friend Forrest once told me, life is like a lump of clay. You know, it is. Life is like a lump of clay. And you may not think you're worth much, and you may think you messed up and this and that, but you can still become a vessel unto honor. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for covering me in your precious blood, that glaze that you've covered over my body, Lord. And I thank you so much for it. And that righteousness, Lord, is all you see. And I thank you for covering that. And each and every one of us that's saved, Lord, that's just a wonderful thing. And I thank you for this example. I truly, really didn't even understand it so well until I started making pottery. But, Lord, it really makes sense that you're the potter and we are the clay. And I pray, Lord, that you would mold us and shape us in your will, not ours. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.